Welcome to today's deep dive. Today is Sunday, May 10th, 2026, and, well, by 2050, one in four people on Earth will be African.
Yeah, it is a staggering statistic when you really try to wrap your head around it.
Right. So today we're opening up a stack of geopolitical analyses along with the official Agenda 2063 framework document.
Which is basically this incredibly ambitious master plan.
Exactly. A 50-year master plan. Okay, let's unpack this. Our mission today is to decode how 54 distinct countries are coming together to map out half a century of their future.
And when you dig into the seven aspirations in this document, I mean, you are looking at a radical departure from the status quo.
Right. It is definitely not business as usual.
Not at all. They are mapping out a politically united continent. We're talking about a Pan-African passport, a continental high-speed train network, and even an African space agency.
Wait, an African space agency?
Yeah, along with the complete silencing of all guns.
Okay, but wait, isn't planning 50 years out basically impossible? I mean, given how fast the world changes, getting 54 separate governments with totally different political systems to coordinate on a high-speed rail network just sounds like an administrative nightmare.
Oh, absolutely. But what's fascinating here is how the document intentionally bypasses rigid central planning.
Oh, so it's not a strict top-down rule book.
Right. Instead of locking everyone into this 50-year straitjacket, it uses cascading 10-year implementation plans. So it functions much more like a decentralized milestone system.
Okay, so countries can sort of opt into what works for them.
Exactly. They opt into regional infrastructure goals that benefit them directly, like sharing a localized rail grid, and then that slowly stitches together into the broader continental network. The 50-year horizon isn't about perfect predictive modeling, you know? It's a structural mechanism to force a deliberate alternative to just, well, the default trajectory of stagnation.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Because you can't run a 50-year project of that scale without a massive engine.
Right. You need serious fuel.
Exactly. And the geopolitical data points straight to demographics. Africa is projecting this unprecedented influx of working-age people while the rest of the world just ages out.
Yeah, it is a massive youth bulge, which means they're essentially building the plane while flying it.
Right, like stored kinetic energy.
Right.
If channeled into education and tech, it powers the whole machine.
Exactly. But they have to construct the universities and entire new industries right as this massive population enters the job market.
Because if they miss that window, that demographic dividend just turns into a massive unemployment crisis.
Right, the economy stalls out.
And since traditional agriculture is largely tapped out, they have to put that workforce somewhere new. The blueprint points directly offshore to the blue economy.
Yes, the ocean economy.
Right, and we aren't just talking about fishing here. The framework targets advanced aquatic biotechnology and sustainably mining deep lakes and ocean beds.
I mean, they are essentially doubling their economic map by moving into the water. But to actually capitalize on that, to train marine biologists and build deep sea engineering, that requires massive upfront capital.
Right, which forces us to look at the money.
Yeah.
How do you finance a continental ocean economy without just handing over the keys? I mean, without becoming deeply indebted to foreign institutions?
Well, the document is adamant about funding 70 to 80% of this internally.
Which is huge.
It really is. And it raises an important question about financial sovereignty. Agenda 2063 is a direct historical reaction to the structural adjustment programs from the 1980s and 90s.
The SAPs, right?
Yeah, those conditional loans from foreign institutions. They required strict economic deregulation and forced austerity just to get capital.
Meaning countries were basically forced to cut state subsidies for their own emerging industries.
Right. They completely lost their safety nets.
And then local factories suddenly can't compete with cheap foreign imports, which essentially guts their industrial base overnight.
It caused systemic deindustrialization. So if we connect this to the bigger picture, the entire funding model of Agenda 2063 is built to reverse that exact mechanic.
Oh, okay. So how do they actually do that?
Instead of exporting cheap raw materials to pay off foreign debt, the strategy relies on beneficiation.
Beneficiation. So processing raw materials locally?
Exactly. You process them locally before exporting, which captures the higher profit margins. They are deliberately building up local capital markets to keep that newly generated wealth circulating inside the continent.
Because owning the value addition process is the ultimate key to true economic emancipation.
You have to own the process to own your future.
So what does this all mean for you listening right now? Well, it means Africa's transformation is not just some isolated regional story.
Not at all.
as they shift from being a passive source of raw materials to an active economic powerhouse, the entire center of global supply chains will move.
Right. When a fourth of the global population stops relying on external frameworks and defines its own trade terms, the rest of the world has no choice but to adapt.
It really makes you rethink the sheer scale of what is possible when you actually plan ahead.
Yeah, it really does.
Which leaves you with a thought to mull over today. If an entire continent can align on a shared 50-year vision to break free from external dependency, well, what external forces or structural adjustments might be quietly limiting your own long-term potential?